And kind of a strange thing. But power outages, police would raid the building. Who knows, man, we've had it all. But it's always a sign of God moving and doing something. And today, you know, I was at the church, and I forgot something, went back to the hotel, and there was this lady in the hotel, and she said something to me. I didn't pay attention because I was kind of in a hurry. And I came out, and she, all I did was look at her, made a big mistake. Man, she just started screaming, shouting. I said, oh, great, you know. And just unusual things. And so I got in my car, and I thought, well, I just don't have time for this right now. I drove from the hotel we're in just up to where the road is. You turn on to go to the church, and there's a Shell station on the left-hand side. And I happened to glance over, and there's two people from my church getting gas. Can you believe that? I mean, what timing? I stopped and looked. I said, nah. So I rang him, and sure enough, I watched him pull out his phone. And I kind of pulled into the gas station, and he had his back to me. And I said, Don, yeah, where are you? He said, man, I'm at some Shell station. We decided we went up to Seattle to take care of some business. We decided to come back down the 101 and enjoy the scenery on it, because they have a Harley Davidson or a Goldwing or whatever they call it. And he said we needed gas, so I just pulled off the freeway, the 101, and I just it was amazing. And went back to the hotel to get my wife, and she met him. And this lady starts to, I told Christy, if I look at her, she's going to manifest. And I said, the strangest thing, the Lord spoke to me and said, give her a dollar. And I never have cash on me, but I had $1 bill in my wallet, in my pocket. And I just turned to her and looked at her, and she's been screaming and shouting again, you know, and I gave her a dollar and she just left. It's, I don't know. Let me share one other story before we begin here. And as we begin, how many people know the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick? Have you ever had hope and it gets deferred and you think, oh, you know, and it comes like, you know what I'm saying? Well, when we went out to eat the other couple of days ago, I noticed that with this buffet came desserts, and so we had eaten, and I just happened to wander back and see these dessert cabinets. Your big glass things with all kinds of stuff. And I was walking by, and my weakness is carrot cake. And I just happened to look, and I noticed there's this old lady, amen, she'd been getting food. I went by and, you know, and didn't look real happy, but anyway, I didn't pay much attention to her. But she followed me, right? And so I wasn't paying attention, but you had to stand on this side to open the thing, and I was on the other side, and I just happened to look in there, and of all these desserts, they had one piece of carrot cake. And I thought, whoa, and I just looked at that, and I thought, man, I've been dieting, you know, but that looks really good. And there was only piece left, and I, you know, in that moment of time, I remember the last time I had carrot cake and how good it tasted. And I'm looking at it thinking all this. And I said, okay, I'm going to get it. About that time I looked, here's this old girl. She's got a plate full of food, right? You know, main course. She opens it. She looks at me. She watched what I was looking at, opened it up, grabbed my piece of carrot cake, and left. I have to admit, I just started laughing because it was so comical. But at the same time, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Well, amen. I want to declare to you tonight that faith is a matter of having the correct understanding of who Christ is. Faith is a matter of having an understanding, a correct understanding of who Christ is and what He can do within us and through us, providing we will allow Him to have His way and to believe His word. And that's the requirement. We need to let God have His way, and we need to believe His word. Can you say amen? That's where prayer comes in. Sometimes you have to get a hold of God, hallelujah, so you can have the wherewith to understand the word and to see it through and understand what's going on. Sometimes there's all kinds of thoughts that are negative that come into our minds. But when you lay hold of God, He will, I suppose, it's like the fly on the wall. Fly landed on the wall, looked around and said, the whole world is white. Amen. He backed off, flew back, and said, okay, the whole world is white and brown. Then he flew back further. He says, well, the whole world is white, brown, and green. And sometimes we have to, what God will do is He'll lift us up and He will give us a better perspective of what's really going on. And what we think is a situation or a circumstance isn't always the way it really is. I've had a lot of situations recently that we've had to deal with, and it looked pretty bad. It looked pretty glum, and you get agitated about things. Anybody ever get agitated, or is that just me? Remember, you lie, you fry. Thank you. And so there are things in life that come to agitate us, and we get through it, we're believing, and bam, some more stuff happens, and just about that time you get ready to about punch somebody. Well, sometimes it looks like the whole world is white. But I want to tell you, sometimes what we need is God's perspective. And if we have God's perspective on something, then therefore He will help us to understand what's really going on. And that's what we have to have. The story is told of a healing evangelist who was ministering to four people in wheelchairs. To all four he said, arise and walk in Jesus' name. They all got up and walked, except for the last person. I can't walk, she said. So the evangelist explained that the others couldn't walk either, but they did. I know they did, but I can't walk. I haven't walked in years, so I cannot walk now. Since it's impossible to convince a person against their will, the evangelist had to leave her in a wheelchair. The difference was that the first three acted on what was spoken to them, and they walked. And whenever you act on God's word or what the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, then the results are forthcoming eventually, and that is what is known as faith. Faith is a mindset that says, yes, I can, and then puts that faith into action. James says, show me your faith and I'll show you my works or my actions. The book of Acts is nothing more than the disciples believing the word and putting it into operation, or literally acting on what the word says, and the results were forthcoming. It wasn't always appealing to them as individuals. It wasn't always appealing to their flesh or to their mind. The experiences they went through weren't always appealing, but I want to tell you, the results were forthcoming. And Paul, who went through much, certainly has become an example to you and I. How many people have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? It was written by a guy called Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan was a guy who was from a place called Northampton in England. Quite a number of years ago now, we decided that our church decided to plant a church in Northampton. And so to start the church plan off, we decided that we would do a miracle healing crusade right in the center of Northampton in the town hall. And so we put ads out in the newspapers. We handed out 5,000-10,000 leaflets, whatever it was. We sent groups out, impact teams, to go out there and share with people and preach on the streets. And then the day came and it was well attended. We had a powerful Holy Ghost time. During that period of time, there was a lady came who was in a wheelchair. And so we've been praying for folks that have been getting healed left, right, and center. And so this lady came, and I asked her what she wants. She said, I want to walk. I said, okay. And we began to pray for her. And as we began to pray for her, the power of God hit her. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. She actually levitated about 4, 5, 6 inches off her wheelchair. It was like somebody reached out and lifted her up. There was a space between her and where she sat. Now, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just seeing things. And, of course, the other guys who were there and the pastor who was going to be pastor of the church was there, and it blew them away. I said to this lady, the Lord has healed you. Get up and walk. And she said, no, I will not walk. I cannot walk. And I said, you ask for healing. The Lord has healed you. Take that first step. God has made you whole. Walk in Jesus' name. She said, no. And I said, you aren't hearing me. The Lord has healed you. You came for healing. Walk in Jesus' name. She said, take me home. And I was mystified, and the Spirit of God spoke to me to tell this lady, the reason you didn't walk is because you don't want to walk, because through your handicap, you are able to manipulate and control people all around you and have them wait on you. And your handicap is that very thing that causes you to be the center of attention, that causes people to do what you want them to do because you don't want to do it yourself. Needless to say, I wasn't sometimes the most popular guy with people. And when the Lord tells me to tell somebody something, I certainly tell it. And continue to be not always the most popular person. But one thing is for sure, I will speak the truth. Amen. This woman could have had her healing, but she refused to act on a faith. And so tonight, we need to understand that the faith is a mindset that says, yes, I can, and then puts their faith into action. And I want to preach a sermon tonight that I've entitled, Yes, You Can. And it's a shame all those folks weren't here last two nights, because this would really help all those guys, especially some of them who feel called to the ministry. And I don't know if that happened just since just the last two meetings, but I want to tell you, God began to speak to me about a lot of those young men that got saved. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. If you have a Bible, you can follow along, or you can just listen. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned for me again, the Apostle Paul writes. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. How many people believe that? Doesn't matter. Anyway, it means no response. And so if you want some good preaching tonight, you need to encourage me. I'm here to refresh you, but I tell you, I need to be refreshed as well. And that's the job of every congregation, to refresh their pastor every service. And especially any visitors. Can you say amen? Yeah. Oh, yes, very good. All right. Lord, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead your blood over this service. We plead your blood over every man, woman, and child that's here. Lord, we bind every distraction, put a hedge of safety, a wall of protection round about us. Send your angels to minister to those that are here. Heal the sick, save the lost. Let your name be exalted. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Anoint our ears with the oil, Lord, of your anointing, that we would hear the voice of God, not the voice of a man. Let your words come into our hearts, and the words of men be washed away, but your word, let it accomplish its purpose. In Jesus' name, and everyone would say, amen. This I can attitude was an essential part of the Apostle Paul's life. The Bible tells us that he could bear any trial, he could perform any duty, he could subdue any evil of his nature and meet all temptations that prosperity or adversity will bring him. Someone once said, we're raised in adversity, we're tested in integrity, and we're proved in integrity, and the final test was success. Most people have no problem overcoming adversity, but when it comes to integrity, we lose quite a few folks. And then finally, success. We can handle failure a whole lot better than we can success. Most people fall when they have too much success too quickly. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you know what? I would love people to walk in greater success than what they have, but I cannot give it to them because it would destroy them. Raised in adversity, proved in integrity and tested in success. Where the heck am I? Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, we read these words. 5 different times the Jews gave me their terrible 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I was in the open sea all night and the whole next day. I have traveled many weary miles and have been often in great danger from flooded rivers and from robbers and from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the hands of the Gentiles. I have faced grave dangers from mobs in the cities and from death in the deserts and in the stormy seas and from men who claim to be brothers in Christ but are not. For I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Often I have shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the constant worry of how the churches are getting along. Who makes a mistake that I do not feel his sadness? Who falls without my longing to help him? Who is spiritually hurt without my fury rising against the one who heard him? This was the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle of the living God. Yet look at the things that he endured, yet he overcome them. There's very few of us have experienced those kinds of things. But there are things that you and I have to battle today, and a lot of those things are in our mind. A lot of those things are perceptions that we have that aren't always right. And sometimes we go through things, we perceive something that isn't right or is fictitious. It seems like it's right, but it's not right. This especially happens in communication. Sometimes somebody in the church comes and they think somebody said this, they didn't really say it, and they heard this, and what the other person said wasn't what they said, and they react, and the other person, and pretty soon you have all kinds of chaos. So God is trying to speak to us today. He's trying to raise up men and women of God who can deal with mind problems, who can deal with a defeated spirit, who can deal with negativity, who can deal with criticalness, who can deal with failure, who can deal with setbacks. Because Paul was a very successful in the gospel, but God had a way of keeping him humble. The word Paul, his name was Saul, but Jesus said your name will be called Paul. Why? Because the name Paul means literally he who rises a little way from the ground. It meant that he was of small stature. It means that not only physically was he of small stature, but literally he was a man with humility. And I want to say this, every true man of God I have ever known doesn't have to exalt themselves at all. They don't have to have doctorates and reverends and all this other nonsense. Amen. They are people who walk with humility and they come to serve and you can miss them. I had a man come into my church who claimed to be a prophet. He bothered me because I come to this side of the room, he went to that side. I came to the front, he went to the back. But he had relationship with people in the church, and so my hands were slightly tied. But the warning lights were on and the sirens were going off. Hello? And this man began to go around from family to family to family to family saying how great he was. And what in fact took place, he began to attack other people's ministries. And I learned something in this, that as he assaulted other men's ministries, including mine, but he had a website online that was somewhat popular, I suppose. But he empowered himself by criticizing others, by attacking other ministries, by attacking other men. And how many people know we all have, none of us are perfect. If you want to look at anybody, you can find fault with them, or you can create something that appears to be right, but it's wrong. That's the world we live in. And eventually, exposed himself for who he was. He was a prophet, not of God. He was a prophet of division and destruction. And when he tried to destroy this one man that I knew to be a godly man in his ministry, and I found out that in my church he had snuck in and somebody had given him access into one of our rooms, and he was making videos there. amen, that were assassinating this guy's character. When I found out, I went through him. And I picked him up by the scruff of the neck and by the seat of his breeches and chucked him right out. And maybe I'm getting a bit older, but if I couldn't, I'd have got somebody else. But he took off. The next thing I know, everything he had in the church was gone. And I put the word out, you ever come back here, you ever come back and you will not be allowed in this place because you are a prophet, a false prophet. You are a prophet of division and destruction. And you empower yourself by the criticisms of others. And I want to warn you today that in the world we live in, there are people, there seems to be a spirit going around that empowers itself by criticizing a church or by criticizing the pastor or by criticizing godly people, amen, and putting them down. And through that, they make themselves big and they make others small. That is not what the Apostle Paul did. That's not what Christ does. That's not what men of God do. That's not what the people of God do. Can you say amen? God is looking for a people who walk with humility and walk with love and walk in authority, who will build and uplift. Can you say amen? See, the Apostle Paul proves he could face and overcome any of life's hardships or difficulties by putting his faith in Christ and believing him for strength to endure. He put his faith in who? In Christ. And Christ gave him the strength, gave him the grace to endure all of the hardships that he went through. And I want to declare to you tonight, the same is true for you as well. There is nothing that you cannot do, nothing. There is nothing you cannot do if Christ is your Savior. There was a young man who came here the last two nights and I looked at him and all the word the Lord gave for him was potential. I began to call him Mr. Potential. Because I wanted him to know there is potential within that man. He has great potential in the kingdom if he will just believe it and just receive it. Every one of us are unique. We may be ordinary people, but it's God chose ordinary people to do super ordinary things through. There's nothing special about you and I. Either the Word of God tells us that even Christ himself was a man. There was nothing special about his appearance. Then you looked at him from a carnal aspect, so he's no big deal. He's just an everyday man, everyday looking carpenter. But what was extraordinary was the spirit that he carried in his heart and the humility that he walked in and the things that he did. That's what made him extraordinary. And the same is true for the true church of Jesus Christ. God today is sifting the righteous from the unrighteous, the sheep from the goats, the big fish from the little fish, the wheat from the tares. There's a sifting going on today. And God's separating his people. He's looking for a people who will love him, who walk with humility, who cherish truth, who understand faith and will live by faith, and who are not all egomaniacs, but crying out loud. In our opening illustration, these three people got out of their wheelchairs and they walked because they believed they could and they acted by their faith. The fourth person would not embrace a yes I can attitude and believe she couldn't and she didn't. She would not believe and she would not activate her faith by acting on it. Can you say amen? There comes a time that you and I have to live by faith, not by what we see. Everything around us says it's over, it's finished. But God's called us to live by faith, to believe God. And God is able to help us. Some time ago, I had a vision, quite a number of years ago now, when I first came back from the mission field in China and came back to the United States, I had this vision, and it was set in a country area, and there was a great earthquake. In fact, there was an earthquake today in Vancouver, Canada, 6.8. Unbelievable. Look at this, fires in Texas, about 20% of the state's on fire. Amen. Floods in the East Coast and the Midwest. Holy cow. Hello. Is anybody here that Jesus is coming back soon? Come on now. The stock market went down 600 points today, ended 300 points down. Hey, they're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow because of the state of Europe. Not to mention a host of other things. But I want to tell you, listen to the vision that I had all these years ago. There was a great earthquake that came. And the earth opened like this. There was a great chasm between the two. One part of that land dropped down and the other part came up. And all of a sudden, as I looked, the lower part was filled with people and the upper part was filled with people. On the people above, there was a peace and a tranquility and a calmness. They were just at rest. They were at peace. And they had very little in their hand. But God multiplied what they had. And the Lord said to me, I am going to bring a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. And they may have little, but I am going to multiply it. I am going to provide for their every need. You listen to me now. God is going to provide for your every need. He is going, as you believe, as you trust Him, as you hear His voice, He is going to guide you. He is going to provide for you. Where God guides, God provides. He is going to make a way when there's no way. I took over the pastorate of a church. I was the head of an organization in China. I was the national leader in England. And here I, all of a sudden, the Lord opens the door to go to Albany. Why in the world Albany? I don't know. I got there. The church was a mess. The building was a mess. It was leaking everywhere. One of the services we had a lot of extra people come out. It was one of the coldest days of the year. The furnace quit working. The hottest day of the year, the air conditioner quit working. And I was standing there in this place, water's pouring in through the ceilings, it's freezing cold, people are coughing, and I said, what in the world is going on? I ran up to Home Depot, bought a whole bunch of heaters, plugged them in, only to find out that half the building, the power outlets didn't work. Finally got them plugged in, tried to get things going, and at the end of the service, someone stole the heaters. Stole just about everything else in the building as well. I thought, I looked at my wife and she looked at me. I said, what? What is this? We had an enormous, all of a sudden, I found out that we had a $430,000 mortgage, less than 25 people. And the guy says, hey, listen, anything that's left over, you can have. The problem was never anything left over. In fact, we had to pay. It was just insane. I'm trying to take over church and it's costing me money to go down there. Finally, some guys came. I just want to share this with you because I have a reason for saying this. And pretty soon some guys came down and walked through and they're saying, oh man, you got a lot of chairs. I could use some of those chairs. I said, well, I'm sure you can, but they're staying here, dude. You know, and I share with them. I said, my wife and I kind of feel like the building is of more importance to you than we are. In fact, my wife and I kind of feel that we're kind of like, we don't really count for anything. Like I'm an unpaid caretaker. And I said, I want to ask one thing to you guys. What about my mortgage? How am I supposed to pay my bills? Because at that point, the pressure was building. How can you live with no income? And they said, well, we've all lost homes for the sake of the ministry. Well, the guy who said that, he lost his church. They couldn't pay the bills. And it was a tough road for us. And then the people manifested. They were all crazy. They were nutters, man. I thought, what is this? I thought, Christy, maybe it's us. Maybe we're a little insane here. One day I said, how many people here, I'd heard a lot of, anybody here not been in jail? And two hands raised up. The rest of the guys had all been in jail. Including the guys in ministry. They were all felons and everything else. And I said, well, at least we have no bank robbers. And the girl stood up and said, oh, I was a bank robber. I used to do armed bank robberies, and I just got out of jail. So, anyway, all of a sudden, God began to deal with the people, and whoosh, they were all gone. We had about 70 people leave. So now we had a building that was dysfunctional. We got that fixed. We have people who are dysfunctional. God took them out and brought a whole bunch of new people in. But now we have all the legal things that are insane. And I said, dear God, we haven't had an income from the church for 3 years. Had a little here and there to help us with our mortgage. And I want to tell you, that's scary. That is scary. But you know what? I had that vision. And I remember on the other part of that vision where the land went down, I saw it full of people. And they had much. There were piles of gold in their hand. But it was running through their fingers. And they had much, but it came to little. And I saw this one man, he got angry and a vein swelled up in his neck and he's shaking his fist and he was so angry because these other guys had peace, they had nothing, but they were being blessed and they had much and were being cursed in a sense. He picked up rocks and they started throwing rocks at the righteous. But you know what? The gulf was too far away and the others were too high up for them to the rocks to reach him. And they remained in peace. And the Lord said, Chris, I've given you that vision because it's a vision that comes from me. And you need to trust me. You and your wife need to trust me and commit your way unto me. And I want to tell you how, I can't explain how this has happened. We don't take money from the government. We don't take money. We have a little teeny business we do. But somehow, supernaturally, God has met our every need. We have never missed a house payment. Never. I want to tell you, there's a supernatural provision. So when I talk about this stuff, I'm not just talking stuff out the top of my head. I'm talking from life's experience. Why? Because we're coming into a time when the supernatural provision of God is going to come upon you. And you just simply need to believe and let the Lord's name be exalted and not yours. One of the guys in our church, he was a great musician, extremely talented. But you see, I give him a word. I said, the Lord showed me. It's like I saw when they drill a well, a drill going down. And I saw where the Lord had done a work in him up to about here. And I said, the Lord wants to go deeper in you. He wants to do a greater work in you. And I said, if you don't do it, I don't know what's going to happen. And so what took place was he rebelled and said, no, I'm fine the way I am. I don't want the Lord to do a greater work in me. I like being who I am. And he became one of the ringleaders for this thing that we went through. You see, today we need to understand who we are and who God is. If we let ourselves become exalted, we see ourselves as more important or more better than the Word of God, God will remove us. He'll bring humility to our lives. He has a way of humbling us. God give us hearts of the humble. God give us hearts for the kingdom. It's not about you. It never has been about you. It's never been about me. It's been about Christ. It's been about God. It's about Him. It's about His kingdom. Can you say amen? That's what it's about. It's about the kingdom of God and what God can do in our midst, what He can do through us, and how we can touch other people's lives. And it means that logically, and sometimes it looks like we're going without. Logically. It looks like we're being hard done by. Logically. It looks like we're being treated badly. Looks that way. It looks like sometimes God has forsaken us. But I want to tell you, God's plan is bigger than your plan. It's bigger than my plan. It's bigger than mankind's plan. It's bigger than the plan the flesh has. It's God's plan, and God will see us through to the end. He will see you through. He will take you through. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. We used to sing a song, it went something like, and Jim, you may have to help me. He didn't bring you this far to let you drown. He didn't, how does it go? Do you know it? He didn't bring you this far to let you drown. He didn't leave you, bring you this far to abandon you. Do you have any memory? Okay, moving right along. Yeah, we're getting older. See, many people want to speak in tongues, and they don't because somehow they believe that the Holy Spirit will move their mouths and make words for them. But that's not how it happens. In Acts 2:4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they had to move their mouths, and they had to move their lips, and they had to speak. Amen. They had to speak. And what took place is the Holy Ghost caused a new language to flow out. In Acts 10:44, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles because it says they heard them speak in tongues and they heard them magnify God. Again, in Acts 19:6, it says the Apostle Paul laid his hands on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. When the Holy Spirit gives you an utterance, you must believe and you must act by faith. It doesn't come out of your head. It doesn't come out of your understanding. It flows out of your heart because God is not a mind. God is a spirit, and it's His spirit that touches your spirit, and it flows out of your heart. Can you say amen? Amen. We are motivated far, far too often by our heads and not our hearts. God, give us a heart for the living God. Have you ever noticed that when a person gets saved, they have to battle for their salvation? Is that right? Then we shouldn't find it, we shouldn't be amazed when you get healed and the devil tries to rob you from your healing. Amen. Just like our brother testified tonight. Amen. Where is he? Somewhere. back, whoever. Right over there, Bruce. Amen. The devil will try to rob you of your healing. You're going to take it. You're going to believe it. You're going to act upon it. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to contend for it. You're going to have to contend for your faith sometimes. You're going to have to contend for the brethren as well. Against the thoughts that come into your mind and the ideas that pop up into your head. Because sometimes they come from the flesh and not from the spirit. We were talking today. Someone was telling me that there was a study done, and they found that 80% of the time we're negative and 20% of the time we're positive. That's the average individual. If that's true, it's a lot easier for us to be negative and critical than it is to be positive and the people of faith. So we have to train ourselves. God help us. Now, if you're an Englishman, it's about 90% negative and about 10% positive. So Englishmen, without mentioning any names, have to work even harder at faith. There isn't one sermon that I preached and I'm the first guy to answer my own article. It's embarrassing. I'm preaching, I'm getting convicted. I wish I could stop and I can't. God's got a hold of me, man. I'm getting convicted. Amen. Who said amen? I knew it. See, if you can believe God's word to you, if you can act on your faith, if you can believe that you can do all things, then you will do all things. You will be healed, you will overcome adversity, and you will speak in new tongues. But you have to act on your faith, and everything we're about has to deal with acting on our faith. I pray with people before they want to get healed. They can't move their leg, or they got pain in their leg. And I'll pray for them, and I say, okay, move your leg. I can't. Why? Because I can't move it. Well, you asked me to pray for it. Yeah, well, move your leg, but I can't. Buddy, if you don't move it, I'm going to punch you. I have to admit, I actually said that. I got so frustrated. I'm going to shake you. I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to kick you right in the leg if you don't do something. Well, it worked out of fear, but I can't move my legs.
Don't try that at home.
But I can't. I said, but you are, because why? You're putting your faith into action. And sometimes we have to put our faith into action. Does that mean to say that every single person we pray for gets healed right away? No. Why not? I don't know. Some people get healed on the way home. Some people get healed the next day. Some people get healed later on. I am not God. My job is to lay hands on the sick. And the word tells me, and they shall recover. And so when people say, well, why didn't they recover? Don't talk to me about it. You talk to God. I've had people get healed. Amen. They're healed when they're in front of me, and they leave, and they lose their healing. They come back. They come close to me, and they're healed again. Why? Because they're living by my faith. I shared the other day about a lady in England who had a major problem. She came to church, she got healed, she walked, she was pain-free, she tested herself, it was all done. And then what happened? She went home. The next morning she woke up, she was in the same state or worse than what she was the night before. So that night she came to church to give me a piece of her mind, which wasn't peace at all. And as she pulled into the church parking lot and got out, the pain began to diminish. As she came up the stairs into the meeting room that we had, the pain went down about 75%. As she came into the building, into the assembly where we were preaching, there was no pain. She left and went home, and the pain came back. She came back the next night, and she was pain-free. She said, why is this? I said, because you're living according to my faith, not yours. You're going to have to grow in faith. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to act. You're going to have to contend for your faith once and for all. When you have a yes, I can attitude, it will open all kinds of doors of possibility thinking. Yes. It's been said that to become enthusiastic, act enthusiastic. Yes. To have friends, be a friend. Yes. I don't have any friends. Shut up. Yes. Be a friend and you'll have a friend. Yes. But your problem is all you want is people to wait on you. And you use this poor me attitude. Woe is me. And my daddy beat me. And my father beat me. And you know, my brother and sister, they hated me. And my teacher hated me. And it's been a life. I've had a horrible life. Well, so what? Get in line. I'm in front of you. There's lots of people who have had a hard time. But you need to grow up and contend for your faith and put it behind you and believe God. If you want to do something, then start thinking and speaking that you can. And as you activate your faith with actions, I guarantee you will see the results. You will see the results. And you will have friends, and you will be healed, and you will speak in tongues, and you will do things that you never thought you could do. A man usually has two reasons for not doing something. One that sounds good, and a real one. Why? 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 Let me give you an answer. Because a carnal mind will always justify what a godly conscience says is wrong. We have become masters at justifying wrong actions. We will look for something to justify what we do. If it don't line up with the word, it's wrong. It's sin. It's disobedience. Often a man who says he can't do something, can't do it, because he's not willing to act on his faith. I'm sure that all of us have experienced times when our faith has been deficient and where our fears and emotions have taken the place of our faith. Anybody had a time when your emotions and your fears took the place of your faith? Oh yeah. Why? Because we're people. We're real people. We go through that. There's not one person that hasn't had a failure in their life. And if you say you've never had a failure, you're a liar. One guy in my church said, "How dare you call me a liar?" I said, "You're a liar. Not only are you a liar, you're a thief." Well, it was true. You lie, you fry. That's how to win friends and influence people. That's where it comes from. And so there are times when each of us go through times of doubt and fear. Doubt and fear equals unbelief. And the spirit of unbelief is a powerful thing to have to deal with. And there's every one of us have times where our faith begins to ebb. And fear and doubt begin to rise up. And we can't see the way to go. It's at that point where we begin to seek into that thing we fear the most, as Peter kept eye on one Jesus and the other eye on the winds and the waves, and sunk into the waters, sunk into despair, sunk into death and destruction, that even at that time the Lord came and lifted him up, and together they walked back to the boat. God will help you to walk. He will help you to rise up. He will help you to believe. He will give you a mindset. He'll give you the help that you need to believe and to carry on. Until finally we can look back over our lives the way the Apostle Paul did and said, "Yeah, I've gone through all of these things. All of these things. But I've learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in. I have learned to give God the praise and glory. I have proved that no matter what I go through, He's given me the strength and the grace and the joy to see it through." See, the Apostle Paul experienced the same kind of fears and emotions that you and I feel, but he found that with a "yes, we can" attitude, which was rooted in his faith in Christ Jesus and his word, that he could overcome and face these fears and emotions and change that bleak picture of hopelessness. And that hopelessness is a bleak picture, by the way. He could change that hopelessness, that sense of impossibility, that sense of being overwhelmed, into an uplifting picture of hope, possibility, and a sense of overcoming and attainable victory. The Lord will give you that. He will help you. Our text says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Can you say amen? How many of you believe that word? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. One Bible commentator said that this is where the Apostle Paul put his whole reliance. It was not in any native ability which he had. not in any vigor of body or mind, nor in any power which there was in his own resolutions. It was in the strength that he derived from the Redeemer. By that he was enabled to bear cold, to bear fatigue and hunger. By that he met temptations and persecutions. And by that he engaged in the performance of his arduous duties. Everything else he considered nothing but cow dung. In other words, Paul was able to do all things, overcome all things, because of the strength that God gave him through his son, Jesus Christ. So there's a merging together of almost of Christianity and Judaism right now. And a lot of the things that the Jews have, the celebration, speak to us. Yes. See, this is our tishba. It's not what you're not, it's what you can be. It's not about what you can't do, it's what you can do. Yeah. It's all about believing God in yourself. You're a failure. How many people know you're a failure? The Bible says it. For all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. One man said, trials, temptations, poverty, want, persecution may await us, but we need not sink into despair. At every step of life, Christ is able to strengthen us, enlarge us, and bring us triumphantly through. See, I've been sharing this week about enlargement. And the Word of God told us what? Enlarge the place of your tent. Extend your pegs. In other words, God wants to grow us up. He wants us to make us bigger. What's the Bible say in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. God wants enlargement of his kingdom within us. And how are we enlarged? Through difficulty and hardship, through doubts and all these things that assail us. And God said, now what are you going to do? And what we need to do is put our faith in Christ, not in the logic, not in what we've learned in the past, but what God spoke to us and said. The things from the past we've learned in Christ, absolutely, but not our own carnal past. He said, you stand, you believe, you put your shoulder to the plow, you believe, and I'll turn this thing around. Anybody ever, when I was a kid, this was in the 1950s, probably about 1957, we got a TV set, a little old black and white thing, and it used to come on at about 6 o'clock, and 6:30 was Popeye. Back in those days, when you were about 7 years old, bedtime was about 7:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. But Popeye came, and all my friends used to hang out at their own houses to watch Popeye. He was our hero. So I want to take you back a little bit, a number of years now. How many years is that? 50-some years? Dear God Almighty. And so I want you to picture Popeye and Brutus and olive oil. And so Brutus has come along and he's tied Popeye to a railway track. And this lives in my mind. I was almost traumatized by this. I thought, my God, Brutus has tied Popeye to the railway tracks. And here comes a train, you know, a locomotive pump up, steaming along. And Brutus is laughing and he grabs for olive oil, throws her over his shoulder, and off he goes. He's running out. You got the picture? And I think, oh God, Popeye, you need spinach, man, you need spinach. Oh God, help me, you need spinach. And the train's getting closer, and now the tracks are vibrating, and Popeye's going, oh, you know, what's going to happen? Is this the last episode? Is this the end of Popeye? On all of a sudden, the train's even closer than before. His time's almost up, and because of the vibrations, a can of spinach somehow pops out of his shirt. I never could figure that out. And somehow or other, it pops out, he gets his pipe, and he grabs a hold of it, and somehow or other, he opens that can of spinach just in time to eat it. And all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, his muscles all pop out, his chest gets bigger. Man, I said, man, give me some spinach, man, I need some spinach. And so, he gets real big, and the bonds, he's tied to the tracks with snap, he jumps up, here's the locomotive, right there, he holds his hand out, and it stops. Brutus looks back and he's worried. He thought he triumphed over Popeye. He thought it was all over for Popeye. But all of a sudden, Popeye's finished. Somehow it was a miracle. And he found out that he could overcome the obstacles of life. Except today, our spinach is the Word of God.
Right.
And old Popeye comes up, and all it's like a whoa, and he takes off. And he comes up to Brutus, and he beats him up, and he grabs olive oil, and he takes Brutus, and he kicks him, and he goes right out into space and becomes a Sputnik, like out there with Sputnik. Sputnik had just been launched, and he became Sputnik too. And here's olive oil. Oh, Popeye. And he's,
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
You know, saved. Popeye saved the day. But I want to tell you, there's truth in that. We have the Word of God. We have a Savior. We have a devil like Brutus as well. But I want to tell you, God will help us. He will save you. He will help you. He will give you the strength to be an overcomer. He will break the bonds that bind you. He will turn an impossible situation right around if you believe. And I'm telling you, I've had to live what I'm saying. Now we can face life. Now we can face its ups and downs and all of its experiences with confidence, knowing that what? Yes, we can. Knowing that what? Yes, we can. See, we can face all things. We can handle and deal with every situation. We can handle and deal with every circumstance, every difficulty, every setback, and every adversity. In other words, we can do all things, and we can overcome all things. How many people do you believe that?
Amen.
No, you listen to me. How many people believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. What? I was getting a bit hungry. No, how many people believe that? Do you really believe that? I said, how many people believe it? Do you really believe it? Oh, you're going to have to put it into practice. And if you don't put it into practice, you're going to get missed out. You're going to get left behind. What situation are you facing tonight? What place are you at tonight? What things are you? What demons are you fighting? What Goliaths are you facing? What mountains are you facing? But I tell you, you can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you. That which is impossible to man, in closing, that which is impossible to man, we can overcome and get the victory through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us and gives us the power to break through every demonic stronghold, and then the power to break through into victory. Why? Because you and I tonight are God's peculiar people, a special people, an unusual people. I'm going to close with these two scriptures. 1 Peter 2:9 in the King James Version says, but you are a chosen generation. God has chosen you, a royal priesthood. You're part of God's royal priesthood tonight, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. In the Amplified Version, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. In Jesus Christ, you are a peculiar and special people that can face any mountain, face any strategy of hell, face any opposition, and gain every victory that brings enlargement and heavenly maturity. See, it's time for the church to grow up. It's time for the church to quit throwing a pity party. It's time for the church to quit throwing a tantrum. It's time for the church to believe the living God and to grow up into all that God's called us to grow up in. It's time for us to enter into the promised land. It's time for you to understand who we are in Christ and to believe for everything He's given to us already.